Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's a play made by the defense for the touchdown. Montez Sweat up to knock it down, and he ends up picking it off and turning it into a touchdown. What a play.
It's a great athletic play by Montez Sweat. He's another one of these young players that better get used to hearing his name. He's going to be one of the greats.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, the second hour of our 4.5-hour marathon that we provide for you each day continues on 106.7 The Fan, and we are pumped to go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now and welcome onto the show the defensive coordinator of the Washington football team who helped turn what was a liability of a defense just a couple of seasons ago into the number two unit in the NFL, yards per game and per play, number two in every passing category, a top four in scoring and sacks, top five in interception rate. Jack Del Rio is with us. Jack, it's Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Everything's appreciate good. You hopping on with us. Things are good. How's the offseason going for you so far?
It's a slow start to it. We're obviously moving into that off-season mode where we get into our evaluation of what we did and evaluation of our roster, know our roster first before we move into free agency and the draft and all those things that are coming.
Coach, what has that evaluation told you thus far? Grant read off a lot of those numbers, and they're really good numbers, and it was pretty impressive. This unit at times was elite, really, really good this season. What has your kind of internal evaluation told you?
Well, I mean, you know, as you look at it, I mean, you have to recognize a lot of good things happened. And, you know, I think, you know, we developed as we went through the season, I think we improved. We developed a mentality of how we're going to attack every rep, every game, and how we approached it. I think, you know, we like to create an environment where we have fun, where we enjoy what we're doing every day. But, you know, we're doing it the right way, you know, preparing ourselves to compete at the highest level. And defensively, we want to do everything we can to help the football team win. And that's really what it comes down to. And I think, you know, I think we have a good start to what we want to do here in terms of establishing winning habits and a mentality that says we're going to fight and compete every day.
Only one defense in the NFL, the Rams, ranked ahead of Washington in close to 10 categories. Pretty impressive first season for Jack Del Rio. And this isn't new. This is the third time that within his first couple seasons in a new stop, he has turned his defense statistically into a top two unit. So it's what's expected from him as a defensive coordinator, the lofty expectations when he came in here. Jack, when we're looking at numbers, there are things we care about or we don't, and that over the years I've decided that I care more about. Like, I'm a much bigger fan of grading out on yards per play than yards per game for offensive production, you know, passing and running and whatnot because of game script. Are there things like that for you, that numbers that you just don't care that much about that you hear in the media all the time and you roll your eyes at? Or how do you view kind of statistics as a coordinator?
Well, I mean, it gives you a chance to compare yourself with the rest of the league. You know, statistics are not the major thing for me. It's about, are we helping our football team? You know, are we helping our team win? And that's really what it comes down to. I think, you know, are we a unit that is known for hustling? You know, some basic things, you know, You know, are we flying around? Are we getting the ball back for our offense? So, you know, are we limiting how many points we're giving up? Because ultimately, you know, the team that has the most points wins, right? So we want to hold that number down. That's getting harder to do in today's NFL. I mean, you know, offenses are as prolific as they've ever been, and it's a challenge. So, you know, but we want to do our part. I think, you know, we made strides in that area, and I think, you know, some of the things that are most important, you know, points allowed, how you do in the red zone, how you do on third down, because those are critical moments in the ball game. And if you statistically are doing well in those areas, then you're going to be giving your football team a greater chance to win. And that's what it's all about.
Jack Del Rio and Grant and Danny, to follow up on something you just said, 10 years ago, Jack Del Rio versus this version of him today as a DC, back as a head coach, whatever. Do you expect anything different based on the rules? Like, can you still go up to a DB after they get beat and have that same screaming session on the sideline, knowing how much harder their job is? What's changed for you in that regard? Because the league is now designed for shootouts. We had the most points this year we've ever had before.
I think you have to recognize and keep it real. I mean, I'm not into just having screaming sessions for, you know, I respect the guys. I mean, to me, one of the things that I try to teach is respect, you know, respect for yourself, respect for your teammates, respect for your coaches, for your opponents, you know, all the people that support us, all of that. To me, respect is huge. So I try to give respect, and I try and encourage that, you know, with our group and that we respect each other and our opponent and all those things. So, but I think you have to respect the game. You have to understand it is harder right now, you know, but we're not going to sit and make excuses for why we don't get things done. We're just going to look to make sure we're competing at the top of our ability, that our focus is there, that we're giving the football team, we're giving our teammates and our brothers that we line up with and that we battle with each day, that we're giving each other our best, and, you know, and then we go compete. And so, you know, you don't always win. You know, the National Football League, you're not always going to win. You're not always going to win your matchups. But are you competing, and are you focused, and are you giving great energy, and are you, you know, giving it everything you have? Because that's when you're doing that and you create those habits, then you have a chance to accomplish great things.
Coach, I feel like there are a pretty good number of coaches that could say, okay, Chase and Montez, you guys go get the quarterback, right? I think that's something that a lot of guys could figure out. The thing that I'm really impressed with you and your staff were the young guys. Cole Holcomb, Cam Curl, Jeremy Reeves, Tim Settle, Kalik Hudson had to step in and play a big role, getting a lot of snaps. The development of some of these young guys to not only fit in but excel, to me, is a testament to you guys' work. Could you go into that process of getting these guys not only up to speed but so they can thrive and really help you?
I credit our staff, our approach, you know, Coach Rivera's approach, and then defensively the coaches that we have and the work they put in to develop each and every member of our football team. I think that's hugely, I think it's imperative, right, that you do that and that you work on that throughout the year. And then, because opportunities are going to come up, you know, guys are going to be called on. It's just, you know, you go through a season, people get banged up, different things happen, and all of a sudden you're asking somebody to play that maybe wasn't in your plans, you know, when you started the year. And so how well have you been preparing them for that moment? And I think, you know, our staff did a nice job of that, and the guys did a nice job of working on those things. And then, you know, guys like Cam, when he got called upon, you know, he never batted an eye. He just kind of competed and did his thing, and you can see his confidence grow. And, you know, Cole Holcomb, another example of a guy, I think as he went through the year, he ended up having a really strong season for us, and he's just scratching the surface. So, you know, working with guys and bringing out the best in them, I take pride in that. I think as a staff, we do take pride in that, and developing our guys and helping them play the best football they're capable of. And I think that's important. And I would go back and tell you that, you know, coaching great players is not easy. You can't just roll a guy out there. He's got to work. And, you know, fortunately with us and with the two guys you started with and Chase and Montez, Tez is, I mean, he had a great impact on us this year. And it's not just in running around the edge and getting after the quarterback. It's setting the edge and being physical. And Chase, the same thing. I mean, they did more than just go run and go run after the quarterback. You know, they set the edge and helped our front be really formidable while playing coverage. And so, you know, we asked a lot of them, and they gave us a lot, and they're just getting started. So it should continue to improve.
Sweat's second year, Young's first. They combined for 16 and a half sacks with Danny Ruya and Grant Paulson. We're talking the defensive coordinator of the Washington football team, number two ranked defense in the league in a bunch of categories this year, Jack Del Rio. I wanted to speak to the Chase Young subtleties, if you will, or just get your evaluation overall, because you mentioned there are more things than getting after the quarterback. He's a Pro Bowler. People around the league obviously recognizing this guy's talent. He's probably going to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year award. But coming into the year, you know how this goes. You got a social media account. 14 sacks, you know, flirting with Reggie White's records, or is a disappointment. 7.5 sacks, and people just look at that number and they point to this guy or that guy, and they say, well, he had four more. When you hear that, what do you think?
I don't give it much credence, you know. I don't really concern myself with it. You know, bottom line is working to make sure that, you know, you're developing a guy and that he's giving the kind of effort that he needs to give, and he has done that. I mean, from day one, he came in the building with the right mentality. He loves football. He loves his teammates. He loves going out there and competing. And, to me, numbers come. I don't concern myself with, like, individual numbers. I'm more about team numbers. And I appreciate the guys, and I've had some real good ones over the years, the guys that approach it that way, and Chase does. He's very much about what he can do for the team.
Coach, what was your first order of business? When you got hired, take us back there. You come on board bringing a lot of credibility to the role, and, you know, your day one, first time you're talking to the guys, what was sort of your first order of business, something that you wanted to change or improve upon?
Well, it was really just establishing the mindset. I mean, it seems like a simple thing, but, you know, you can't develop if you're not working at it every day with positive energy. So, you know, come in every day ready to work and ready to impact people around you in a positive way. And there's a lot that goes into that. You have a rough day, you're sore, you're tired, whatever it might be. Are you strong enough mentally to do the things you need to do consistently every day for not only yourself, but for your teammates? Because you're impacting people around you the entire time. And so building that mindset is first and foremost. Wherever I've been, it's always been about that first. Because to me, until you get everybody on board and everybody's pulling in the same direction, it's very difficult. So, you know, first order of business is creating that mentality of how we're going to attack things and how we're going to support each other and how we're going to love each other, how we're going to respect each other and how we're going to work and how we're going to be positive every day for each other. And then those are things, you know, that it's not like you do it day one and then you don't do day two. That's something that I work on every day of the year. And so as long as I'm here, as long as I'm part of this organization, I will be pushing for those things because what I believe in.
Jack, is what Cam Curl did this past year as a seventh-round pick sustainable? And did you expect anything like what he gave you when he got inserted full-time for Landon Collins?
Is it sustainable? That's up to him. You know, I think the way he approaches things, the way he works, the way he's wired, you know, he's just wired the right way. And interestingly, you know, for us as coaches, we were very impressed with him when we started our Zoom meetings last spring, because we didn't have a chance to meet in person. And we're meeting in Zoom meetings, but he's standing out in Zoom meetings. And so, you know, you have a rookie, you know, we'd have a little contest. Coach Chris Harris, who did a great job with the back end, and Brent Bieselmeyer and Rock Rogers, those guys did a great job with our group. Well, when they're meeting and doing Zoom meetings and teaching and then creating environments where there's feedback and there's competition and how quickly can you get the right answer and things like that, he's off the chart. I mean, he's just you know, he's like, we're coming back and we're saying, hey, Cam, I mean, he knows what the heck he's doing. This guy, you know, football makes sense to him. I mean, he gets it, and he got it at multiple positions. And so it was impressive even at the beginning with, you know, the mental part being on Zoom meetings.
Coach, what was it like working with Ron Rivera this year? Obviously, an unbelievable amount of adversity, what he went through personally, and you stepping in to a, you know, you're already obviously a very senior role, but kind of taking over on a short-term basis, running stuff. What was this year like for you guys going through that, and what's it like to work with Coach?
Well, it's great. It's great to work with him. You know, he treats people right, so I appreciate that. Gives us, you know, our freedom to be ourselves, and I think, you know, when I reflect on the year, I mean, obviously, I mean, this guy battled for his life, and the toughness that he exhibited, you know, to me was unbelievable. I mean, it's just incredible. And, you know, the kind of the grit and the determination and his willingness to fight and be there, you could tell he was sore and he was, you know, not feeling well. And, you know, he would find a way to get there. Whatever. I assured him, you know, I had done this before. I did it for Coach Fox in Denver. And now Coach Fox wasn't there at all. But I assured him that, you know, we were going to be about carrying on, and that he had laid out a real nice blueprint for us, and I was going to keep us on point, and that I was going to do things the way I would want somebody to do it for me if I had to miss time as a head coach. And so it's a great relationship. I appreciate the coach and the toughness and the vision that he provided, and it was an honor to step in and help carry on our business when he was not able to be there.
And you're tapping into a former head coach in that role when you're Ron Rivera and you can't be there. Obviously, our guest Jack Del Rio, the head coach of the Jags from 03 to 11, and then with the Raiders, well over 500, an impressive run in his National Football League career in Jacksonville and into Oakland. All right, Jack, a couple of moments left, and before we let you go, I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about the two teams that are left standing. You guys obviously played Tampa Bay in the first round as they were just getting this thing rolling. I'm curious if you're surprised as a 5 seed that they're the last team standing with Tom Brady in year one in Tampa. And obviously they gave the defense fits in that playoff game. It was one of the few games all season long where you guys didn't have all the answers on the Scantron. You know, what do you make of the run they've gone on?
Well, Tom Brady is special. I mean, you're talking about a guy 43 years old, and he's still, I mean, just watching him warm up, I mean, he's still throwing the ball, you know, as well as just about anybody. And so that's amazing, really, to have a guy with that much juice left in his body, you know, to be in his 10th Super Bowl. That's just unbelievable. So he's been knocking people out. You know, he knocked us out. He'd been knocking people out for a long time. And so there's no shame in that. I don't think we played our best game that night. It was unfortunate. We played, you know, better in spurts throughout the season. But the bottom line is he's a great player. But I just think the way the Chiefs are wired right now, man, they are on fire. And so, you know, can Tampa do enough to slow them down? That's going to be the question. So I think the Chiefs, obviously, with the speed they have and the way they distribute and Mahomes pulling the trigger and doing those things, Andy Reid, I think they're awfully strong right now. But the team that knocked us out is in the Super Bowl. So there's a little bit that you can say, okay, then, you know, maybe you're closer than you think, and then you realize the amount of work that needs to go into to this next season, and you realize you can take some positives from this year, but we've got a lot of work to do.
Coach, this is a treat. Really appreciate the time and insight this afternoon. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
I appreciate it. All right,
hey, Jack, and I'll tell you this: guys, I don't know that I can pay the fine for you, but I want you to wear a suit on the sideline again sometime soon. That was a good look with the fedora.
I love it.
You only did it once, though, right? Or did you do it a couple times?
I did it a couple times, but the best one was a night game against the Giants and Tom Coughlin. That was the best one because Tom was coming back to Jacksonville, And it was a big night, and we had a nice performance, and it was a night game. So it was tough to be in that suit. I have to be honest. When we're in Jacksonville and it's 99 degrees and 90% humidity, it's not the suit's not the best option. So
I loved it. I thought that was as good a bit as there was going. Badass, break it back out sometime next year.
All right, you got it.
All right, take care. There's Jack Del Rio on Grant.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate you. Let's get into some of what he just told us about the defense. Couple of thoughts of our conversation with Del Rio. And if you remember, 525 today, new Nats reliever Brad Hand right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Attaboy, Cookie. Way to hop back up and wipe that dirt off. A little pulling back the curtain a little bit. Bit of a struggle for old Duck at the top of the hour. And Danny, I don't know if you saw, but he said he was nervous because Jack Del Rio was listening on
hold. I saw that, which gave me a little chuckle.
So it got in his head a little bit. He's doing the update with Del Rio sitting on hold, listening to old Tom Plyman.
Hey, guys, so I'm here, right? And I don't get starstruck. I wouldn't be able to work with you guys if I got starstruck.
Hey,
but,
now.
But there was just something about his energy that just turned my entire brain upside down, and I was rattled.
So how does it work? You call him, and you put him on hold.
Right.
The defensive coordinator of the Washington football team.
Yes.
And what exactly is he saying? Like, what got in your head? I don't understand.
No, he was just very – he was calm but collected. He was strong yet relaxed. There was just something very genuine about him. And in between talking to him and getting to the microphone, I'm thinking about everything that the team went through this year and all of the uphill battle and everything that changed in between where we were at this point last year and the team now. And then the idea that he was listening and I couldn't read. I'm fumbling everywhere.
I was worried for you.
I dropped my papers. I didn't know what was happening.
Well, it got me. I actually thought, I'm like, at what point does Darius pull the plug here?
He should have pulled it.
Honestly, is there
to play us out? Is that what happened?
Right.
You shouldn't have pulled the plug. You did the right thing. You got to let Cookie finish what he started. But at some point, is there a ripcord? Like, we didn't get there, but it was the first time it ever crossed my mind. How do we help him if need be? But I want you to know, you brushed yourself off, you got back up, and I thought you did really well here at the bottom of the hour.
And here's the other thing. He was also a broadcaster and very good at it. He was great on ESPN. So it's kind of like this guy who's good at so many things is now paying attention to me, who's not nearly as good at any one thing as he is great at so many things. And I proved myself correct. So,
well, you overthought it. There's no reason that we're not
massively.
We're not splitting atoms here. We're not sending spaceships into space. Just talking about football. You'll be all right. I think you bounced back. You did well. Right. But thanks to Jack Del Rio for joining the show. That was cool to have him on for the first time here on Grant and Danny. After Washington's defense had such a strong season, you heard him talk about that final game in Tampa Bay. And, you know, yeah, they want to do over, obviously. But sounds like he takes some pride in the fact that, I don't know, as a coach, as a player, if it's something that I would feel like, well, at least the team that beat me is in the Super Bowl. I know as a fan, fans do that all the time. Like when Washington lost to Green Bay or somehow beat the Giants and then they went on that magical run when they were 9-7, you feel like you're closer. You feel like it's a better season because the team that ended your year ended up being a Super Bowl team. And maybe he's taking a little bit of pride in the fact it's Tom Brady. We're not the first team he's eliminated. But sure, you could tell he was disappointed. And he should have been. That defensive effort, as we pointed out, all year long they had a standard that they set. And they just didn't meet it that day.
I agree with that. And you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you know, you realize you're pretty close. You're within a score. You're driving late in the game with a chance, right? Which is more than you ever could have thought possible. Here we are against maybe the greatest ever do it, a complete Tampa team that is strong in every area. And here we were in that football game, gave them certainly a fight the same way New Orleans did, you know, Green Bay did as well. So it tells you you're close, but I think my favorite quote was, it tells you you might be close, but there's also so much work that makes up that gap. It's easy, I think. I mean, this is all relatively easy, right, within pro sports. I think it's pretty easy not to be terrible. I think it's pretty easy as far as pro sports standards go to not be an embarrassment, to not be awful. To go from fine to great is really challenging. That's the hard part. What's next is hard. To go from 3-13 to, you know, one of these 6-10, 7-9 type teams, that's fine. Okay. This next level, that's the next really hardest step, and the challenging work is really ahead.
Well, talk about the challenging work. He inherited a defense that was the 27th ranked unit in the NFL. They were 31 against the run. They were 22 against the pass coming in 2020. And on the back end of the end of his first season, they were number 2 overall in yards per game and per play allowed. They were number 11 against the run, and they were number 2 against the pass statistically. They were top 5 in how often they picked quarterbacks off and top 4 in how often they sacked them. They were number 3 in the limited number of first downs they allow. I mean, you can go on and on. Third down percentage, they were 6th. Fourth down percentage, they were 2. Scoring defense, they were top 5 in the NFL. So all the categories, when you compare them to their peers, they stacked up. Now, some of those things can be a little bit misleading. You know, some of those things maybe give them a little bit more credit than over the course of the season Jack Del Rio would, because you played a half against Ryan Finley, or you played a game against Ben DiNucci, or right, whatever it is. But the bottom line is the numbers are the numbers. They're really, really good. So let's talk where they improve and how they get to a point next season where either they're ranking first or second in all these categories, and there isn't a feeling like some luck played into it. They're just dominant. They just took games over. They just, instead of winning 2 or 3 games on their back, they win 6 or 7 on their back, and maybe as a team they win, you know, 9 or 10 or something like that. First thing you'd want to do in terms of upgrading the groceries that Del Rio cooks with is what?
I'd say, I mean, and I like John Bostic as a person, and I think he's okay as a player, but they could use something a little bit more dynamic there. They could use, I think, a little bit more of a consistent stud at middle linebacker, because there were times, and again, this wasn't every game. There were games that showed up and they were killers, right? But you also have the Arizona game. You got that Detroit game. You got this Tampa game where a good offense that's executing and humming had their way with this group at times, right? I would say that maybe a middle linebacker or two to put teams more often in that bad down and distance might be a slight upgrade. Again, I don't think Bostic's bad. I think some fans have decided that he's bad. I think that's wrong. I think he's fine, but I think they could use a stud there if you're asking me for my shopping list.
Yeah, I want one more great player, and the question then becomes, like, where do you drop that guy in? Now, if we're saying Chase Young has a chance to be an all-pro type, and one season into his career, don't get me wrong, he's got a lot of work still to do, and he's got a lot of improving to do to be a first-team all-pro, but he's got a chance to be that guy, I think we can agree. And he started this season on a path that could get you there. They haven't had a defensive player you could say that about in a long time. But if you look at the teams that are left, like the Chiefs are built on offense, and they're going to win shootouts. But Frank Clark is great. You know, they've got two defensive linemen who are outstanding on their front. Washington can kind of go toe-to-toe with them in that regard, perhaps. The Bucks are a little bit different. You know, a team that won a conference championship game when their quarterback threw three picks. I don't know if the Chiefs are that kind of team. And you look at Tampa Bay, and they're built with their linebackers. You know, we talk all the time. We marvel at Devin White, who had 15 tackles this past weekend, who's just a heat-seeking missile and runs sideline to sideline with such great speed. Levante David is another example of a guy that could run and cover and do anything you'd ask him to do. They don't really have a linebacker like that in Washington. They got two of those in Tampa Bay. I love the idea of an impact defensive back. I think what they got out of Kendall Fuller, far exceeding my expectations as a cornerback one, super impressive. I had low expectations for Ronald Darby in free agency. He was really good comparatively.
Thought he was good, yeah.
Cornerback two, now he's a pending free agent. You got to pay him, keep him around. So whether you go get a really good corner, that costs a lot of money if you want an elite guy, or you just get someone that fits in well with Fuller or Darby, I think that could help. Safety position, you probably shouldn't spend a lot of money at because you've already got Landon Collins, who you overpay and pay so much money to play in the box. You now have Cameron Curl possibly opposite him. There are some decent safeties available if they wanted to go that route. But if I'm looking to add one more Pro Bowl-type talent, one more guy who could be someone that an offensive coordinator has to worry about, I think the best place to drop that guy in, to your point, is linebacker. And it's partially just to upgrade the personnel, but more importantly, it's about layering a little bit, you know, on each level. Then you've got a guy at each level, perhaps, that has a chance to take a game over if Landon Collins can get back to what they thought he could be when they brought him in here.
That's a good one. Another big addition, and this is about health. I think Matt Ioannidis, we underestimate the difference that guy makes as an interior pass rusher. He 8.5 sacks, man, in his last full season, just basically trucking guys in the middle, collapsing that pocket. Theron Payne had an awesome game against Tampa, and Jonathan Allen is good. He was, I think, second on the team in quarterback hits. I think that really frees up the outside guys when you have a pass rusher that's that effective in Ioannidis as part of that three, maybe even four-man rotation when you start including Settle right there. I think that's something that's going to be a huge, huge toy for Del Rio to play, be able to play with next year.
Getting him back will be massive. He is a better pass rusher than anyone they've got up front on the interior. And I don't mean that as a knock on Allen, who I thought,
didn't you think
he came a long way in that regard this year?
The sacks ended up with, people are going to say, what are you guys talking about? I'm telling you, he was second on the team in quarterback hits, up there in pressures. Think of the Burrow injury, not too hard, obviously, because it's gruesome, but it's Jonathan Allen at his feet. It's Allen all the time. In the past, it was intercepted, or should have been intercepted in that game, but Trey Apke basically headbutted down to the ground. It's Allen. He was pretty effective in that regard. Was he as good as Ioannidis? Absolutely not, but better than we've seen before. Instead of just, you know, a space eater Spencer, he's getting upfield a little bit more with more regularity.
Yes, he's improving in that regard. He's not a run stuffer. We've always kind of thought he could be versatile in a dual threat, you know, a multi-purpose defensive lineman, and I really did think he showed that this season. But if you're talking about pressures in all of the categories, he is either the leader on the team or second to Montez Sweat. Mm-hmm. He had 50 pressures, according to PFF, this year. Sweat had 49, Young had 42. As far as quarterback hits, he and Montez Sweat tied with 13. Chase Young had 6, Daron Payne had 5. PFF tabulation on quarterback hurries, John Allen 34, Chase Young 30, Daron Payne 26, and surprisingly, Sweat all the way down at 26. But Allen was right ahead of Chase Young in terms of hurrying the quarterback. So he either was the leader or right there with the leader in each of those categories. And I say that only to say Ioannidis is more of a pocket pusher and a collapser on the inside. So if you could get to a point next year, if 98 could stay healthy, which just hasn't been the case often enough, where he and Allen are rushing side by side, or maybe you go with that five-man front they like and Payne is helping you stuff the middle to take on a block or two, and then you have Young and Sweat coming off the edges, and whoever your third pass rusher is going to be important if Ryan Kerrigan walks. But that's your base group. You can do really well, as we saw. You can take games over. But the linebacking position should be fairly easy to get big-time production out of here with that type of defensive line if those guys are doing their job. This was Del Rio minutes ago. If you just missed the interview, make sure you podcast it at thefandc.com when we're done today, or you can use the radio.com rewind function when Danny asked him just on evaluating his first season on defense.
Well, I mean, you know, as you look at it, I mean, there you have to recognize a lot of good things happened. And, you know, I think, you know, we developed as we went through the season, I think we improved. You know, we developed a mentality of how we're going to attack every rep, every game, how we approached it. I think, you know, we like to create an environment where we have fun, where we enjoy what we're doing every day, but, you know, we're doing it the right way, you know, preparing ourselves to compete at the highest level. And defensively, we want to do everything we can to help the football team win. And that's really what it comes down to. And I think, you know, I think we have a good start to what we want to do here in terms of establishing winning habits and a mentality that says we're going to fight and compete every day.
Are you with us that linebacker on the inside is where they should put their emphasis this offseason to help Del Rio out from a personnel standpoint? You can open up the phones on that, 800-636-1067. What else would you like to see them try to do this offseason on defense? So much is made of quarterback, getting better at wide receiver, maybe adding tight end help with Logan Thomas. You know, some of the things they got to do to score more points in an offensive-laden league. But what about on defense? We'll ask you that question. We'll also get you a double play next on Grant. Double play coming up in just a few minutes on
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, you can give us a call if you want to react to our conversation from earlier this hour with Jack Del Rio, 800-636-1067. On the docket right now, what does Washington need to add defensively? What would be your number one priority? I mean, the one thing we know is, barring them trading one of those young defensive linemen for a quarterback, they're probably not going to spend any money or high picks on a D lineman. If you want to go get help at cornerback, makes a lot of sense. Only way I could really see them going hard to address safety is if Landon Collins somehow isn't on the roster. They just have so much money tied up in him as it is, and a couple of young guys that played well, led by Cameron Curl, Jeremy Reeves, and DeShazer Everett, even in limited opportunities this past year before he got hurt. An inside linebacker seems like the obvious position that's just screaming at you. Looking at where they're picking in the draft too, Danny, at number 19, Mel Kiper had a mock that came out today where he had them taking Florida wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Wide receiver makes sense there. Tackle is going to make sense there. But I also think that's a really good spot to get yourself a linebacker or a cornerback. maybe it's someone like Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech or one of the better corners in the draft falls, but that's one of those spots where because so many quarterbacks and tackles go really high, generally there's a lot of value in the teens at other defensive positions where you're not sacking the quarterback.
It's because it's a little bit less sexy, right? I mean, there are a lot more teams are, and I reference this all the time, but Howie Roseman at the analytics conference, and I watched his whole presentation. It just kind of changed the way that I think about team building. And listen, Philadelphia's fallen on hard times. Don't get me wrong. They're not the model franchise by any stretch, but they are a Super Bowl champ pretty recently. They've had more success, certainly, than Washington has, winning the NFC East a whole bunch of times over the years. And sort of the value of team building and what positions to prioritize and otherwise. And I'm going somewhere with this. So typically you're talking about a defensive lineman, a pass rusher, a receiver, a couple skill guys, and that's where you're going to spend the bulk of your money. The rest have to be filled on the efficient, right? Typically, if you're built that way. Well, sometimes you could do what the Nationals did. I know I'm crossing sports here. The Nationals saw a soft market for veteran guys that can really do it at a high level, but everyone would rather start their kid, right? They'd rather start a 22-year-old that probably should be in double A, you know, if this was 10, 15 years ago. So the Nationals get your Kendricks. They go ahead and get your, you trade for your veterans and find guys that nobody else wants and win a World Series that way. That could happen here with Washington. You could massively upgrade as people are saying, well, that's just a middle linebacker. I don't really care about that. And you could probably get middle linebacker two at 19. Or you could get maybe cornerback three there. Just kind of depends on where you want to build. But you could grade out a playmaker. If you don't care about some of the analytics as much, you could find a guy that could really help you.
I know that it may not be as exciting for fans if you draft a corner there that may or may not start right away. But if you were to do that and you re-sign Darby, and you had those three guys, and maybe by midseason or something, that corner took over as a starter, I would really like that process. I am a big proponent of, a lot of people know my axiom, that if you have four pass rushers, go get five, and if you have six, go get seven. I don't go quite as adamant about that way of thinking about corner, but it's not far off. Like, I don't think you can have enough guys that can cover. So there's a lot of picks I'll be annoyed by. Cornerback at 19 would not be one of them. Let's go to Ashton in Silver Spring, who is with us on Grant and Danny. Ashton, thank you for the call. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourselves, gentlemen?
Great. Hey, dude. What's going on?
Good. Long-time caller. Thanks for taking my call. I think y'all hitting the nail right on the head about the defensive backs. You know, nowadays, a lot of teams don't just have one star receiver. They have a guy on both sides. So I really think we need that guy across from Kyle Fuller to be able to, another shutdown corner, to help out the defensive line a little bit, because there's a lot of quarterbacks nowadays are getting the ball out their hands really quick, and the defensive line can't help with that, but defensive backs can.
No doubt. Appreciate the call. I would add to that, though, is, you know, when you talk about opposite Fuller wanting to upgrade, totally get it. I'm keeping Darby. I don't know if he agrees or disagrees with that, but I just thought Darby had a really good season, and I don't think it breaks the bank. I mean, you may have to pay him upwards of double-digit $1 million a year like you did Kendall Fuller if he's going to be a starter for you, but I'm okay doing that. Now, I think people saw – he did have a couple of games that he would want back. I mean, I can think of one against Dallas where Amari Cooper torched him a couple times, and there are plenty of plays, I'm sure, that weren't great. He had more catches against him than anyone else on the team by two, 56 catches against Moreland at 54, Bostic at 53, according to the PFF numbers, if you buy those. But he also was targeted 103 times. So only 54% of the passes targeted on Darby were completed compared to 72% against Moreland. Not a fair comp because in the slot those are shorter, safer, you know, sometimes more accurate throws. But just you want to compare Darby to like Kendall Fuller, 54% of the passes against Darby got completed, 53% against Fuller got completed. Well, he just got thrown at a lot less. So that's something I think to keep in mind. Let's squeeze in a quick double play on G&D here on The Fan. Danny, inquiring minds want to know what's going on in your life. Nothing to do with sports.
Kevin Hart. You know Kevin Hart, who's in everything. Kevin Hart, who works constantly and so hard. He's producing like a million stand-up specials and everything else. This is just how different the world is. And this is my only observation, and I'll do this very quickly. Kevin Hart is going to be in the movie adaptation of a video game series called Borderlands. Now, for those that have played these games, you know, they're a little bit cartoonish, grown-up humor, a little bit gross out, but they're amazingly fun, successful series of games. That's not the point of this. Here is the point. Video game first, movie second. That, I remember when that was a rarity, when that was so super unusual and everyone kind of rolled their eyes at like 19 Resident Evils and everything else. Now, because of how sophisticated these games are, you've got basically voice acting and stories and enrichment and all these other kind of things that are every bit as in-depth as TV shows, movies, and otherwise. There are a bunch of these kinds of adaptations where it's a game first. Everybody, not everybody, but a million people or so, 10 million, however many, enjoy it, and then it becomes a movie franchise where people go, well, that's a good story. It's like what books used to be. Remember books? You read a good book and you go, yeah, that would make a good movie. Now that's video games. Everything from The Last of Us, which is going to be an HBO series, to Uncharted, which is like an Indiana Jones style thing. And now you've got Borderlands movies where you get major stars like Kevin Hart are going to be in them. It's just weird, man. That's all. That's my only observation.
It is weird. My thing is that I'll give you quickly on my double play. I can't use my remote in my living room right now. And it's driving me nuts. So I'm able to turn on my smart TV and use my apps. I can go to Netflix and Amazon Prime and things like that. But my actual DirecTV remote to change the channel, which is on ESPN, does not work at all. And it's been like 3 days of me not being able to figure this out. So last night, my wife wants to watch The Bachelor. She's got to go down to the basement. A couple days ago, I'm trying to watch some recap show of a football game. Can't do it. I can't figure it out. And I'm like on the verge of calling someone to come to my house. I'm that useless. I have no idea what to do.
Back in the day, that would be you'd have one of those universal remotes and you had to do the program thing. Remember that? You had that giant booklet where
yes.
It's like,
and
hold
I tried
the button
it. I Googled
for 19
it.
Seconds. Yeah,
and
it was
like,
that.
Hold this, touch this, do 9634721, like all this stuff. And it works for the volume. So I know that it took. I know that the remote followed the process. But it doesn't allow the TV to actually change channels. Like, I can mute ESPN, which it's stuck on, which is good for 2 hours a night when a game's actually on.
Just mute Stephen A. Smith if it's on.
Exactly. I can mute, I can do volume, but I can't hit guide, I can't hit menu, I can't do any of the things I need to do to bring up channels to change via DirecTV. So something's wrong with my remote. Something is amiss.
There's a word. Now, you may have heard of the show The Sports Junkies, right? This marketplace for almost, I'd say, 25 years. They're closing in rapidly on 25 years. We're going to catch them one day. We're catching them. We're closing in with our year total. We're going to get closer somehow. We'll figure that out. But they use a word I think is very apt here, and that word is nubs. I think that is so nubs that you just can't change the channel or look at your guide. I feel terrible for you, man. That stinks.
Yeah. So one of these days, I'm going to learn how to be a person who's able to fix things at his house. And I'm going to look forward to that day. And so will my wife, because then she'll have a better existence and I won't be as useless. So I'm sure she's more looking forward to that than I am. New natural reliever Brad Hand is on the show today at 5:25. Make sure you're listening at that time. We're Grant and Danny, your Beltway Blitz, covering the teams in town. Comes your way next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.